I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. Today on the program, I'll talk with Melissa Russo, director of the San Bernardino County Museum, and learn about the museum's new monthly lecture series, Dome Talks, where the public is invited to attend to hear a variety of authors. Then I'll talk with another mayor from the Inland Empire region to see what he's proud to share about his city. It's all ahead on Lifestyles with Lillian Vasquez after the news.
Support for Lifestyles on KVCR comes from Dr. Ingrid Trinkle in Redlands, providing medical and cosmetic dermatology, including PicoA laser treatments for tattoo removal. Information and a list of services online at clearmyink.com.
This is Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. Melissa Russo is the director of the San Bernardino County Museum, located in Redlands. She moved back to Southern California a couple of years ago from the Bay Area to head the museum. She grew up in the area, graduated from Palm Springs High School, worked for other cultural outlets before returning to our area, where she is now inviting authors and thought leaders to the museum. We specifically want to talk about the Dome Talks. Mm-hmm. Now, this was kind of your baby, your idea. So What were you envisioning, and what are the Dome Talks?
The Dome Talks are a series of lectures, I guess you would traditionally call them, but we like to call them conversations because we like to have the interactivity with the audience and really conversations. And I felt that there was a need for that in this area. There are a number of speaker series, really wonderful speaker series in the region, but those are in, 2,000 seat theaters. Our space is much smaller. It holds about 130 people, and we wanted to just create a more intimate space to bring authors and thought leaders into the area. So last year was our first year, and it was very successful.
Did you try this maybe at another museum? What's your background? Where did you come from?
So I came from the Bay Area, and my last job was at Chabot Space and Science Center, and we did have what were called Future Fridays. We had a speaker series there, and it was quite popular. So it wasn't an idea that came completely out of my head. We did this at that museum as well, and it was, again, very successful. We brought a lot of, in the Bay Area, we had access to a lot of people in science. And here we have our Dome Talks are a variety of people from different backgrounds and writing about different topics.
Explain to our audience why you called it the Dome Talks.
So one of the very obvious features of our museum is a geodesic dome. And so we thought it would be fun to highlight that as part of this. And the speakers actually speak in the dome.
Well, let's get started. There will be a series of five lectures going on between now and June. And beginning in February, it's actually on February 22nd. Let's talk about that one.
So Henry Fountain is a science editor, writer for the New York Times. So he's coming out from New York, and he just wrote a book called The Great Quake. And in California, we always like to think of the 1906 earthquake as the big one in California. But really, in 1964, a quake in Alaska was something that really changed the future of what we know about earthquakes. And it was very, very important time. It actually devastated a couple of cities. And so he's written a book about that event, but also about the scientists that looked at that, observed what had happened, and out of that, they really came to the conclusion that plate tectonics were what caused earthquakes. So it's a very seminal moment in earthquake science.
Where you're sitting right now here in the KVCR studios, we are on a fault here on the campus of San Bernardino Valley College. So obviously it's a topic that's important to us. What do you have going in March?
So Richard Love is an author who wrote a very important book in 2005. It was published. It was The Last Child in the Woods, Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder. And he was one of the authors, or there were a number at the time, but he really brought to the fore the idea that children who were beginning to spend much more time indoors were becoming afflicted at the same time with things like depression and anxiety disorders and things that he felt were connected to the fact that they weren't spending time in nature. So it was an important book at the time, and it's still important, almost 12, 15 years later. And so he'll be talking with us. We'll be partnering with the Girl Scouts of San Gorgonio on that talk.
And how will the partnership be with the Girl Scouts of San Gorgonio? What are you pulling together? What's the idea?
The idea is that part of their mission right now is to have girls go outside more and to spend more time in nature. So a lot of their work and programming is around that. So we have a very common mission, a very common goal, because at the museum, of course, we want to teach people about nature and their outdoor environment. It's kind of a shared mission we both have.
All right. Well, let's move on to April with Beverly Gray.
Well, this is the one I'm excited about.
Me too.
She just published a book a couple months ago, Seduced by Mrs. Robinson, How the Graduate Became the Touchstone of a Generation. So, of course, it's all about the sexual revolution and things that were happening in that, during that time when the movie came out. And this is 50 years later now, which is incredible. I think some of the issues that people were talking about then, they're still talking about. We still haven't quite figured out roles of men and women and how we relate. And I think she's going to be talking a lot about that because that was a lot of that was brought out in the movie.
And then May, we have a well-known, at least in my world and here in Southern California, it'll be Cheech Marin.
And he has written a book, Cheech is Not My Real Name, But Don't Call Me Chong, as many of us know him as the one part of the comedy duo Cheech and Chong. He's also been a successful actor, but something that people hadn't realized outside of the museum field was that he's probably the largest collector of Chicano art in the world. And he's bringing his collection, donating it to the Riverside Art Museum, and we're going to have him speak. He's spending more time in the Inland Empire now, and so we were delighted to hear that he agreed to our invitation to come and speak at Dome Talks.
Well, that's kind of cool. I'm excited to hear that one as well. Looking forward to all of them, but glad that Cheech will be in the community. We've seen so much more of his art going into the museum. It'll be very timely. All right, let's move on to June. Tell me about this one.
So our last speaker is Chip Caldwell. He's a curator of anthropology at Denver Art Museum, and he's written a book, Plundered Skulls and Stolen Spirits. And it's really about the cultural appropriation of Native American artifacts. And it's a very important topic right now, not just in the Native American community, but with all ethnicities, all cultures, who really owns culture and who gets to tell that story. So that's something that we really talk about a lot, actually, in the museum world, because we curate shows based on different cultures. And so we're really excited to have him speak. But I think just in general, it's a really interesting topic for the public to be listening to.
I'm speaking with San Bernardino County Museum Director Melissa Russo. Now, with so many authors and so much to cover here in the community, how did you narrow it down, or what was your process to narrow it down to these five authors?
There's a bit of a thread this year that really has to do with social changes, seismic shifts, literally, and environmental forces that have impacted Californians. And that was sort of when we started to look at all the different authors out there, the new books. We look at all the bestseller lists and who's written books recently. We looked at all of that, and it comes together. It's kind of an art, not a science. But we wanted to bring out authors who we felt our audience here in this community would be interested in, things that would be relevant.
So those are the Dome Talks. What else is going on at the museum in 2018?
So we have quite a bit happening. We're very excited. February 17th and 18th, we have Arthapalooza, the ultimate bug fest. So for everyone that loves insects, it's going to be a very family-oriented weekend with all-around bugs. And then in March, we're partnering with Arts Connection and an artist group called Fallen Fruit to explore the urban connections to our citrus heritage. We'll have an art show. April 7th through the 15th, we have Train Days. That's an annual event, and we get thousands of people out. It's really
a lot of children, would imagine.
Yes, really fun. And then in the spring, we have an exhibit that's going to be opening in May, tracing the artistry and innovation of Garner Holt Production, our local San Bernardino company that has international renown, really.
And for those who may not know who Garner Holt is, do you mind expressing a little bit? Are you familiar with Garner Holt talk about him?
Yes. So his company, he started the company in, I believe, 1976. And they do animatronics all around the world for different theme parks and museums and entertainment centers. And their innovation and science is quite extraordinary. And it's really an important company here for this region.
Right. He's very much a local guy. Mm. He grew up in San Bernardino and started doing experiments and trying things out of his garage.
Correct.
And his parents supported his efforts, I guess, and one led to the other. I think he's had his mouses or his characters at Chuck E. Cheese's, Disneyland, right, and so many different locations. So he's quite the well-known artist in our community. So that's exciting. I think that'll be a lot of fun. If you have never visited the headquarters, it's quite interesting.
And we're going to be bringing some of that to this museum show. So we're excited to be able to tell people that story.
What was your journey?
I actually lived in Chicago for a number of years, worked at a couple of museums there, and then moved to the Bay Area a long time ago. I was director of the Western Museums Association for about 10 years and then worked for Chabot Space and Science Center.
And so what brought you back to Southern California? Was it a museum or just ready for SoCal weather?
Family. My husband got a job down here. He's in city government, so got a job down here, and I followed him and was really delighted to get the job here at the San Bernardino County Museum. It really is a wonderful museum, and we've been very excited to make our home down here.
Thanks so much for sharing what's going on at our local museum.
Thank you so much.
That's Melissa Russo, director of the San Bernardino County Museum, sharing some of the activities happening at the museum, including their monthly Dome Talks series. For more information, you can visit their website at sbcounty.gov/museum and click on Dome Talks and see all that's happening at the museum. Or find a link at our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. Coming up, I'll talk with another mayor from our region. Stick around and find out what he's excited about in his city. You're listening to Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez.
My name's Forrest. Forrest Gump.
What is it you want, Barry? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Hey, this is not a test.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
He's looking at you, kid.
That's my cue to talk about favorite movies. But not my favorite movies. The favorite movies of Mayor Charles Townsend, who is the mayor of Rancho Mirage. I typically ask the mayors for 5 of their favorite movies, but Charles Townsend couldn't quite narrow it down to 5, so he went with 6.
I could have narrowed it down to 10 without any problem. I'm a big person on old movies, all the way back from the 20s to the 30s, and the list that I gave is 1 of 6 that I thought were outstanding for different reasons that I put them on the list. Not that they were my favorite, but the history of some of them.
Okay, well, let's talk about them. You put A Star Is Born with Judy Garland. So why that one?
The reason for that is this is the third time that this movie was made. It was first made as a silent. Then it was made in the 30s. And it was also made with Judy Garland as a comeback for her when her career was faltering. It was an epic because it was made, this was the third time. It was also made with Barbara
Streisand,
too. So out of all of them, I really felt that this was the best. The songs were unbelievable. The photography was great. And it certainly is one that's in the history of motion pictures. That's why I picked it.
Great, thank you. Now let's talk about the Children's Hour.
All right, the Children's Hour, again, has great history. You know, it's a very provocative title subject, and that has to do with lesbianism. And it was done in the 1930s on Broadway as a very successful Broadway play. And it was a forefront of it being done, period. It was a best-selling book in the 30s. Then it was made into a movie, and they toned down the subject matter of what it really was. So that in 1961, the director who wanted to bring this back as a full representation of what the book and the play was really about, this was a very breaking point for this subject that was not talked about not only in the 1960s, but, you know, that this was a taboo subject.
Right.
He went to Audrey Hepburn and he went to Shirley MacLaine, and they decided to do this. The movie was very successful in its day. One of the points that is amazing is the acting. I was at an interview with Shirley MacLaine, and she was asked about the Children's Hour. And she said the amazing thing was that during filming, her and Audrey never discussed the subject. They just went through it as a scene played like they would have at a dinner party. It was all about the acting and the emotions that the story portrayed. And that's why I chose the Children's Hour.
Okay, let's move on to The Godfather.
Well, The Godfather, 1972, Francis Ford Coppola. I remember seeing this when I was in my 20s. It was a very true depiction of what the Italians went through. It really goes back to how they came over as immigrants and how they were treated. And being in Chicago myself and knowing some history of the mafia, or the syndicates, as they call them, and how they operated and how they worked, this was a very true depiction of what went on from the immigration period from the 1890s all the way up to the 1940s. I had the good fortune of being to many Italian weddings that you've seen there. So my heart, just fluttered, because this was my life. I was raised in Chicago in an Italian neighborhood with Italians. So it was so true to life that it was a mind blow for me, and it's considered one of the best movies made.
Let's move on to Titanic. Tell me about your reason for choosing Titanic.
When I was 9 years old, Walter Lord wrote the first book on the Titanic, and this was in the 1950s. When I say the first book, there were several books that were written about the incident in 1912, two of which I have the original copies of. But when I was nine, reading this book from Walter Lord on the Titanic, my big thing was watching the Titanic 1997. It was the director, James Cameron, and this was Kate Winslet and Leo DiCaprio, as you well know.
Right.
But the movie in itself was an innovation of a story that really captured what these people went through in their last hours of their life.
Right.
And the cinematic advances that Cameron made to bring this forward to you is unbelievable. Seeing it in the theater itself was an experience that just stayed with me till this day. It was an event that created the way to perceive through computerism.
Right.
The movies that we see today. All of these that I picked are still as good today as they were 30 and 40 years ago.
Let's talk about Brokeback Mountain.
Brokeback Mountain, this was Ang Lee. To take this book and to do the screenplay was groundbreaking for the movement of the LGBT community. This movie brought forth a portion of what gay, lesbians, bisexuals, whatever, transgender go through. It really showed you the agony. It showed you what people go through with their families, what they have to hide in their lives, what they deny themselves in their lives. It was wreaked with emotion that really broke my heart, really, to watch this and see what some people went through then. And even with all that we see today, there are still stories like Brokeback Mountain that are out there. There are homeless girls and boys who are gay and lesbian who are thrown out of their homes because they're gay and lesbian or on the streets. So Brokeback Mountain, to have two major stars like Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal do this was amazing. And people with interviews with them said, did you think this would ruin your careers? Because these were the only two major straight men to do these roles, and it did not break their careers. Today, many male, practically all male movie stars will never do a gay-themed picture because it turns off a lot of their fans, and they're very afraid to do it.
So it was a bold move on the actors and the director's part, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Brilliant movie. Brilliant.
Let's go on to Cleopatra, starring Elizabeth Taylor and
Elizabeth
Burton.
Taylor and Richard Burton, 20th Century Fox. This was the first film that practically bankrupted a studio. It was the first film also that had $1 million salary paid to an actress, which was Elizabeth Taylor. This was unheard of in this time. This movie was stopped and started three times with Elizabeth Taylor, with her health, the studio, the epicness of what they were trying to do. They started in Italy, then they had to go to England after building the sets, and they finally had to bring it back to 20th Century Fox to complete it. It's another epic movie that certainly is on the list of the annals of the best movies ever made.
I don't think it was one of Eddie Fisher's favorites.
No, it wasn't. And he was there with Elizabeth, and she was looking at Mr. Burton. You got that right. So it only cost 20th Century Fox bankruptcy, but it cost Eddie Fisher Elizabeth Taylor.
That's right. Thank you for sharing your picks of favorite movies. And now I'd like you to share, if you could, one positive thing, one cool thing, one unique thing that's going on in your city that you're proud of. At this point, Mayor Townsend handed the mic to the city manager of Rancho Mirage, Randy Binder, and he shared two projects happening in their city.
So, Lillian, let me talk about two things. We have something called the Art Affair in the city of Rancho Mirage, and we also have an observatory, a real observatory under construction. The Art Affair has been going on for 17 years. It usually occurs the first or second weekend in November. We have 80 to 90 artists come and exhibit their wares. We usually have a jazz band as background music for the Art Affair. 1,000 to 1,200 people per day, Saturday and Sunday, and it's open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day.
Okay, and the new project that you have going?
The new project we have going is a $3 million observatory that is under construction next to the city's beautiful library on Highway 111. It will include a 27-inch Newtonian reflector telescope. That telescope was specced by Dan McKenna, who is the head scientist at Mount Palomar. A group of staff members and council members toured Mount Palomar and Griffith Park Observatory and the Mount San Jacinto College Observatory and Telescope in order to put this program together. And we believe it's the first observatory connected to a library, where it will be a library and observatory campus, certainly in California and perhaps in the United States. It's under construction now, and we expect it to be done the first part of 2018. The programs that will be at the observatory dovetail nicely with the programs being held at the library. City's library, as you know, libraries are not just about books anymore. It's about, basically, it's a cultural center for the city.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your thoughts on your city and your movie picks.
Very good. I hope it was what you were looking for.
It is.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Do you have five favorite movies that you'd like to share with me? If so, go to our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on Movie Moments. Share your favorites and tell me why. Thanks to all who helped make this show possible, including David Fleming, Sharina Wad, Sean Houlihan, Roger Ashheim, and executive producer Rick Dulock. Special thanks to Ethan Portnick for our theme music. And thanks to you for listening. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now.
Yeah, the simple things in life.
Support for Lifestyles on KVCR comes from Dr. Ingrid Trinkle in Redlands, providing medical and cosmetic dermatology, including PicoA laser treatments for tattoo removal. Information and a list of services online at clearmyinc.com.